Welcome to earnestlycontendingforthefaith.com. This is Brother Mike Sutherland. Could this be the day of your funeral? It is much more sure that you will die today than it is you will continue to live. We all have an appointment with death. Could this be the day of your appointment? After your appointment with death, we all have an appointment with God to be judged. Our topic for today is After This, the Judgment. Today and the days that have followed since the passing of Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so have been days of sorrow and grief. There will be more days of sorrow and grief to follow. Today, you could be Mr. or Mrs. So-and-so. For those that die in Jesus, we have the promise of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 18. Those verses read, starting in verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Wherefore, comfort one another with these words is a glorious statement. We would say hallelujah to that. What a powerful statement it is. The good news is that there is comfort in the Lord Jesus Christ for all those that are saved. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, it says this, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation." Folks, God is the God of all comfort. He is the great comforter. And he is also sent the comforter in the person of God the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is freely given to all those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. He can comfort each and every individual that is here today. I can tell you of the times of tribulation, the times of trouble, the times of affliction, and yes, even the times of anguish I had to face alone before I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Praise God that he saved me, folks. He gave me the peace that passeth all understanding. Thank God that when my daughter was murdered, I knew the God of all peace and the God of all comfort. Can I tell you that you do not have to endure what you are going through today alone? You can come to rest in the peace of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is our peace and that he is the Prince of Peace. The Bible says in Isaiah 26:3 that God will keep those that trust in him in perfect peace, whose minds are stayed upon him. Do you have perfect peace today? Do you know him that is the Prince of Peace? All of us that are here today are in great need of mercy, grace, peace, and comfort. Call upon God and he will give you what you need. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says this, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." This is a time when we all need mercy and grace. It is a time of great need. 1 Peter 5:7 tells us to cast all of our cares upon God, for he careth for you. There is coming an everlasting day of rest to all those that believe. That rest, folks, is described in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through Hebrews chapter 4, verse 11. That's 24 verses there, folks. That word rest occurs 10 times in those 24 verses. Hebrews 3:18 plainly states that unbelievers will not enter into that day of rest. What follows for the unbeliever is an everlasting day of turmoil and torment in the fires of hell. It will never end, folks. The excruciating agony of it will scream from the pits of hell forever. I have spoken much of the Comforter so far. John 15:26 says this, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." It is that same Comforter, folks, who is the Holy Ghost that is in me, that is motivating and driving me today to speak of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." He is that sacrificial lamb whose name is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ was horribly crucified and died, was buried, and raised on the third day, that all of us here might have eternal life. That is one scriptural definition of the gospel. It is the gospel that saves us from the everlasting raging fires of hell. That same Holy Ghost Comforter I have spoken of is the author of the Bible. The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of truth. The Holy Ghost had this to say in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 and 28. "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation." Are you looking for him today? Are you saved? There is coming a day of judgment. You'll either be judged at the judgment seat of Christ as a believer, or at the great white throne judgment as an unbeliever. Several years ago, I was asked to preach the funeral of my best friend, John Kennan. His sister, Hilda, insisted that I not try to preach him into heaven. I assured her that I would not. Let me say this. I do not have the power or the authority from the Word of God to preach anyone into heaven, out of heaven, into hell, or out of hell. I do have the authority and the commandment to preach the Word of God exactly as it is written in the Bible. The consequences of rejecting the Word of God are between you and God. God is the author of the law. He's the judge and he's the jury. Every individual preaches their own funeral before they die. We know not the hour of our death. We have no guarantee of our next breath, folks. James 4:14 says this, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on tomorrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while and then vanisheth away." Folks, we all eventually come to the day of our death. It is our sin nature that kills us. We are born sinners. Romans 3:23 says this about us, folks. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." I tell you this today, folks, God loves sinners. John 3:16 says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Folks, I am a sinner. Each of you here today is a sinner. That means that you either have been or are lost and on your way to hell. Luke 19:10 says that the Lord Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. If you're lost here today, the Lord Jesus Christ is seeking to save you. I ask each one of you here today, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would not go to hell? If you claim to be saved today, is your salvation real? Will the salvation you claim to have keep you out of hell? Each of you here today must realize that you preach your own funeral sermon before you walk through death's door. No amount of preaching at a funeral can change a deceased person's eternal destiny. That is a decision that must be made before God closes life's door. All the Christians that have gone on before us are in heaven today because they were saved by putting their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then God the Holy Ghost worked the work of repentance in their heart. That repentance evidences itself in a changed life. If you have not repented, then you are not saved. The evidence of any professing Christian salvation is in their changed life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Repentance is God's proof to you that the devil has not deceived you into accepting a counterfeit salvation. Many Baptist folks have done the devil's work in scrubbing up and cleaning up lost sinners who have never put their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have churches full of men and women that have prayed faithless sinners' prayers, that have heads full of error-straight Bible doctrine, and hearts full of hell. If you have not repented, then it is God's evidence to you and those around you with spiritual discernment that you have a faithless profession of salvation. Salvation and its required repentance are both a work and a gift of God the Holy Ghost. Salvation is not in the church. Salvation is not in a catechism, a creed, or any denomination's formal written statement of faith. Salvation is not in a baptismal pool. You can walk through every baptismal pool in the state of Tennessee and still be nothing but a soaking wet, lost sinner. Salvation is not of works. The Bible says this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." God's grace plus your faith come together to produce a born-again child of God. God in his grace provided his sinless Son as a sacrifice for our sins on a bloody, old, rugged cross. We are saved through and by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is God manifest in the flesh. You can be saved and know it. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13 says this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe in the name of the Son of God. Many folks around us today confuse Holy Ghost conviction with a doubt-producing work of the devil. The devil will not make any lost person doubt a fake salvation. Unrepentant, open sin in the life of the believer will rob them of the assurance of their salvation and their fellowship with God, because that conduct will grieve the Holy Ghost that witnesses to them that they are indeed a child of God. There is a witness, folks, of the Spirit in the believer. It is the witness of the indwelling Spirit of God that is our assurance of salvation. Genuine saving faith produces repentance, and that repentance is a work and a gift of God the Holy Ghost. Repentance is that change that I have talked about. If you're here today and you are not saved, you can be saved if you're under Holy Ghost conviction. If you have a Bible today, turn in to Romans chapter 10, verse, and we're going to read verses 8 through 17. Starting in verse 8, "But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Esaias saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Romans 17, we have the basic ingredients of Bible-believing salvation. In verse 8, we see that we must have faith in the heart. Faith is not just a head knowledge. It is something that must be believed in the heart. Verse 9 answers the question of what must be believed. What must be believed is that God raised the Lord Jesus Christ from the dead. That same gospel is expanded upon in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. To be saved, you must believe that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried, and that he rose from the dead 3 days later. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it further states that you must make a confession unto salvation with your mouth. We call that a public profession of faith. We are not to be ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God unto salvation. Verse 13 tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Many so-called soul winners stop there and try to lead someone in a faithless sinner's prayer. Verse 14 puts a stop to that idea, because it says the condition to get saved is to believe the gospel. If you do not believe the gospel in your heart, you can call on God continuously and he will not save you. Any so-called soul winner who tries to manipulate someone into praying a faithless sinner's prayer has put death in the pot. He or she has poisoned the well. Faithless sinners' prayers and the empty professions of faith that accompany them have become the leprosy in our Bible-believing churches. The false gospel that has been preached in our churches have made most of their members twofold more the child of hell. If the sinner's prayer you prayed has not forever changed you, then you are not saved. How many of you have never heard the gospel preached? Romans 10:14 is also the charge to the preacher to proclaim the gospel. Verse 14 is one of the reasons why I am here today. I am that preacher. Verse 17 gives us what is perhaps the most important ingredient for salvation, and that is the Word of God. The Word of God is the source of Bible-believing faith. So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's Romans 10:17 again. I hope you have received something today that will be of everlasting value to you. If there's anything we can help you with, or you have any questions, we will be glad to try to help you at the conclusion of today's service. In closing, I have three passages of Scripture that I want to read. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Isaiah chapter 53, verses 4 and 5, in speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, has this to say, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Psalm 23 is often called the resurrection psalm and is partnered with Psalm 22, which is often called the crucifixion psalm. Here's what Psalm 23 has to say. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." That's Psalm 23, folks. I would encourage you to dwell upon these two passages in the coming days. Are you ready for the coming judgment? If you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would not go to hell? That is the most important question that you will ever answer. Thank you for joining us today.